kept our memories alive so I could feel closer, knowing that we'll never get closure. So much bigger than just saying it's over. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything, yeah.
Tell me that you feel. What's up, what's up? Welcome back to the Weekend Grind Podcast, brought to you by Roto Grinders. I'm Josh, Sir Giant, as always with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. Got the snowfall here on the East Coast. It's about time for the New Year's. Holiday season feels nice. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, man, it feels nice inside my house where it's warm, not outside in the snow. I'm very happy to be warmed up inside. So ready for a good, ready to end the year right. We got football tomorrow, last games of the year. Don't want to hear any complaining, because in 2 months you'll all be wanting NFL back. So excited for NFL in general, obviously, because then we got playoffs coming up, and playoff DFS is fun for NFL. And on top of that, you have to obviously love, just the playoffs in general. It's a lot of fun to sit and watch the games. But we got basketball to talk about, right? And then we'll really kind of get into the season once the NFL kind of dies out completely. Then it's just all NBA all the time, right?
Yeah, this is fun basketball time. You know, we had the Christmas games are always fun, just like the Thanksgiving football games are always fun. And now, you know, we're coming into the New Year's, and we got plenty of sample sizes on the way these teams are working now. And this is like the second half of the season is always a lot of fun, because you get a lot of deeper research that you can do with numbers out there, especially on these younger kids. There's a lot of younger kids that are getting expanded roles in the league, so this is a good time to really get in there and start working on your research techniques and figuring out how deep you can go and look at these numbers. But yeah, before we get into the analysis here, give us both a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. That's at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone, at Travis Mangone. The man goat, Travis, there he is. But we're going to get into the games. We got a nice healthy slate here for a Saturday 7-game NBA slate. Travis will be writing the grind down on the Roto Grinders content page. Make sure you go to the homepage, check that out. Travis's grind downs are always worth a read. Nice deep analysis by Travis Mangone here. So yeah, let's hop into the games. We got 7 games here, Travis. And without further ado, let's look at the first one. We've got the New York Knicks in New Orleans against the Pelicans. 217.5 is the over-under. Pelicans are a home favorite by 5 points. Travis, is there any fantasy goodness here? We got a nice total, pretty close spread. We got Cousins coming off an 83-point fantasy game last night, which is phenomenal. Where are we looking here, Travis?
Yeah, it's really odd this game because the Pelicans, well, I'll start with them first, because they're at 111.5 team total. They're 5-point favorites. They're on a second half of a back-to-back on a third game in 4 nights. That obviously has us a little concerned. Just losing to the Dallas Mavericks, too. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. I'm not really all over the Pelicans, and it's weird because they have one of the highest implied totals of the night at 111.5 points. You would think I want to load up on Pelicans, but I'm a little just gun-shy on it. I get it. I had Cousins yesterday. He treated me well. It was a fantastic matchup, but it's not like the Knicks are a great matchup. They're good on the boards. It's not the greatest spot against big men. The Knicks have been a lot better this season, dealing with the guys like Porzingis and Kanter down low. They cause a little bit of problem. So I don't know. And there's not a lot of studs to pay for. So I feel like I kind of could get forced onto these guys depending on how the value shakes up. So it's one of those spots where I kind of have them just as like a secondary options. I like them. I don't think they're bad plays. I don't think they're smash plays, right? None of that stuff. But it just depends. If I get some value on the slate and then I can pay up for their raw points, I'm down to do it. But if they're not guys I'm just jamming in my lineups today. I'm not really messing with Rondo. He's kind of priced up. Same with Drew Holiday for the production that they normally put up. So I'm not going to really chase those games, even though Rondo has been really good the last 2 games, despite the small minutes he's gotten. He could have a giant game against the Knicks. We know they struggle against the point guards, but I don't think I'll mess around with that. And it's weird, right? One of the highest totals in the slate, and I really don't want a lot of these guys. I think Etuan Moore is interesting as a cheap option, but I don't know. Again, I have interest in them. They're like in the player pool, but from like my pool that I'm making of players that I want to play, but I don't know. They're just not like kind of forcing their way in like some other guys are. I think on the Knicks side of the ball, I like Courtney Lee. I think he's a really good spot. The Pelicans are, they haven't been strong defensively this year, and especially on the wing. I think Courtney Lee is a little too cheap, and I think he's a good value on the slate. I like Porzingis too for his price tag. I think we have to have some consideration in him for sure. So Porzingis is a guy that I want to look at here. At 8.4K. On FanDuel, he's a little priced up for me, but again, you have to roster two power forwards, and if I have the money, I'm okay with doing that. Also, Enes Kanter, he had those massive two games, then came in as chalk and then busted, right? That's just such so Enes Kanter. But in this spot where he has to play a ton against a guy like Cousins and Davis, I expect him to be able to, you know, probably play 30 minutes here. They're going to want to use him a lot. I think there's some upside here for him. So again, I think it's like Porzingis, Kanter, and Lee are the guys I like. Probably in order, it'd be Porzingis, Lee, and then Kanter. On the Pelican side of the ball, my main interest is Cousins and Davis, and it just kind of depends on my roster construction if they go in the lineup or if they don't.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. You know, obviously, Boogie and DeBrow are both in play. I just don't see them as, like, jamming them into my lineup spots tonight. There is a lot of usage that's been going around there in New Orleans. I think Rondo, like you said, has been doing a lot with the minutes he's been getting. 25 assists the other day, which was just incredible, but his price has come up. I don't see him as anything more than a tournament dart if you're going to try to game stack. I mean, this is a game stackable game. So if you're going to go that route, then make sure you get Rondo in there for sure. But if I'm targeting anyone from this game in general, Porzingis, as you mentioned, I think is a fine play. But if there's anyone worse than, you know, as bad as New York is against defending opposing point guard, New Orleans is even worse, ranking 28th in the league. I think Jarrett Jack is a fine value option on the slate, especially on DraftKings at 4,300. I think that he's an interesting option. I think he'll come in very low owned, and he gets to face a team that struggles against point guards, especially if they got Rondo covering him. Rondo has no interest in defense. It's just the story of his career is not playing defense. So if I'm going to pick anyone from this Knicks team, it's going to probably be Porzingis and Jack. And if I'm going to target anyone on the other side, maybe I'll try to get Boogie in there, but I don't think it's a jam him in spot. So that's pretty much where I stand. I feel like you either game stack this game or you just take a piece or two and get out. What do you think?
Yeah, it's weird because it's like 217.5 total. I don't know. Again, it's one I want to get exposure to, but I'm not getting as much as I would think normally. But definitely a game to keep your eye on, I think.
Yeah, for sure. All right, with that, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Heat in Orlando against the Magic. 204.5 is the game total. Heat are a 2-point road favorite. I'm sorry, 1.5-point road favorite. Very close game we got here, Travis. So there's probably some options. It looks like we're going to get some more Bismack Biyombo down low, which has been a very popular chalky value play, but his price is starting to creep up. You know, Gordon back, Fournier back. These guys are healthy again. So they got most of their pieces back together. Just looks like Biyombo is going to be the makeshift guy there playing down low. And he's going to be going against Whiteside in this game. So, Travis, what do you think about this game here?
Yeah, so I think on the Heat side of the ball, Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington, Josh Richardson, they were all team disappointed everyone yesterday. I don't mind going back to the well with them. They go from the Nets matchup, which was an easy one, to Orlando. And people are just going to be real recency biased and say these guys are terrible, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. If they were fine plays yesterday, they're fine plays here in the same exact spot. My one worry is Josh Richardson's kind of priced up. He's been priced up for a while for me. I think he's been a fine play, but at the ownership he's getting, I'm not in love with him. I get it in cash games, but I more so just go to Wayne Ellington. He's a lot cheaper. They don't have a lot of wing players there, you know, without Deion Waiters, without James Johnson. Less, you know, that gives him some more ball handling duties as well. I think mainly Wayne Ellington is the guy I like the most. Then I'd go to Tyler Johnson. I think, you know, when James Johnson and Deion Waiters are out, that gives a lot of backup point guard duties to Tyler Johnson. I know he is the backup point guard, but a lot of those ball duties normally go to Waiters or James Johnson. You'd be surprised, but James Johnson actually, you know, has ran a bunch of backup point and just gets a lot of usage. But now this is just funneling to Tyler Johnson, and we get the Magic, who are the worst against point guards. I mean, this is a great spot for Tyler Johnson. Fire back with him. I think he's a fine play. And like I said before, kind of priced up for me. I don't love the price, but I get it. He's going to be in there a lot of minutes. It's not a bad matchup. I think he's fine. Not in love with it, but he's definitely in the conversation. Goran Dragic, I just don't play this dude. Like, I don't understand why people consider still playing this dude. Like, just look at his game logs. I get, like, you know, it sounds lazy or, like, you know, absolutely, like, boring, but, like, what's in the game log is what you get, right? Like, that's what is there. So I'll just pull up Goran Dragic's game log and read it to you because it's quite disgusting. Hang on. Goran Dragic game log. On FanDuel, 6,600, and we got 28.3 against the Nets, 28.8 against Orlando, 22.8 against the Pelicans. Those are all, like, really good matchups. And the guy just doesn't do much for you. The Clippers, 20.4. Charlotte, 27.1. 21.5, 30.5. He, out of nowhere against Brooklyn, got that 37.9. Like, I just don't expect that game to ever really come. It rarely comes. I get this is the matchup that Goran Dragic could do it, right? If you want to take a shot on him, the only time I would take a shot on him are matchups like the Suns, the Magic, the Nets. So, yes, if you want to take a shot on him, this is probably the spot, but I'll just always probably fade him and call it a day until that price gets cheaper and cheaper. I just don't think it's necessary at this price. I'd rather play Tyler Johnson instead. Other than that, man, Whiteside, I don't think he's really going to get that run that everyone thinks. I mean, 20 minutes yesterday against the Nets, I'm sure they're just going to keep easing him back in slowly, and they've been seeing Kelly Olynyk did well. Bam was able to handle a lot of the minutes. Same with a guy like Mickey. So I think they're just kind of doing a little roulette at the big man position, so I don't love the Heat here. Moving on to the Magic real quick. I think I only have interest in Elfrid Payton and Biombo. I think Biombo on DraftKings, I still think there's some meat on the bone. We can get Biombo at 5,300, like him in this spot. I think there's some upside. I'm not going to mess around with Fournier and Gordon. I know that they are coming back from injury, but this is not a matchup where I expect them to thrive a ton. And come back from injury, I just think it's unnecessary to mess around with them. And I'll let their price tags dip a little bit and wait for the better matchup and then kind of jump on then. When we look at the Elfrid Payton, I think he's a great play because there's no Vucevic. That gives Payton a lot more usage opportunities, and the offense mainly runs through him. When Vucevic is there, the offense really runs through Vucevic. Now it's really running through Payton, and I think even though it's a tough matchup, not the greatest spot, I think he'd be a really good contrarian tournament option that just has massive upside that not a lot of point guards have, so don't hate Payton here. And then Jonathan Simmons, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of him at this point. I think his price is just going to continue to dip down. He's going to continue to lose production. I know the last game, he salvaged enough, right? 29.2. Game before that, though, he was at 4.8. 16.3. It seemed like he was just kind of getting burnt out a little bit. And again, he had 36 minutes. He's going to get a lot of minutes. But with Gordon and Fournier coming back and just getting more production, I think that's going to kind of eat off of Simmons. I'm going to wait for his price tag to dip down lower. But that's about it for me in this game. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, Goran Dragic is just, he's got to be not playing healthy. That has to be the only answer here because he did have upside every season up until this season. He's just, there's something going on. He's getting great spots and not taking advantage of them. It's certainly not the minutes. He's getting minutes. So there's definitely something going on with Dragic. So I'm going to stay away from him until they figure out what's going on over there. But I do agree, Tyler Johnson, is a decent play with Waiters out. He's going to get some extra opportunity, extra run. But I do not like that price tag, so it's kind of a tough spot. I wouldn't go out of my way to target him, but I wouldn't knock it if you wanted to play him. But one guy, Whiteside, I do like Whiteside a lot. If he starts getting some extra minutes, he doesn't need a ton of minutes in this matchup against Orlando. Last game that he played against Orlando this season, two games he played against Orlando, he's only averaged 26 minutes in those games, and he's averaged 38.5 DraftKings points. Orlando ranks 25th in the league, defending opposing centers, and with Vucevic out of the lineup, they rank dead last in the league overall rebounding. It's a good spot for Whiteside to rack up some points. He's got a suppressed price tag that could really take advantage of, especially in tournaments. So I do like Whiteside a lot in tournaments, and I think that he's a fine play today. On the Orlando side, I simply do not play guards against the Heat, so no interest in Payton for me. I'm just going to pass there. I understand he's getting an extra run with Vucevic out, but I just don't play guards against the Heat. They're too good at defending guards. That's like one of their specialties, so I'll stay away from that. I don't have a ton of interest in Orlando in general. I do agree there might be some meat on that bone for Biombo, so I think you could still play him on DraftKings if you want to get him in there. But for me, the main guys I'm going to be targeting in this game are probably just going to be like Hassan Whiteside, and maybe I'll sprinkle in some Biombo. But that's about it for me. Anyone else you want to mention in this game?
No, that's about it. We can go on to the next one.
All right, next game on the slate, we have the San Antonio Spurs in Detroit against the Pistons. Low game total of 195.5. Spurs are a 5-point road favorite. We got lots of things going on. Kyle and a Kawhi scratch the other night. Pau Gasol, like the reemergence of Pau Gasol. We were talking about this before we started recording. Just incredible what Pau Gasol has been doing. And he just historically owns Drummond. And I'll let you talk about that, Travis, because you did some digging on that. So, all right. So, yeah, we got some plays here that we could consider. Travis, why don't you go ahead and give your take on this?
Yeah, so I think this game is pretty simple. You know, lower total on the slate, 195.5, but there's guys that get exposure to. I think Kawhi Leonard on DraftKings specifically, I think on FanDuel, but really on DraftKings is where the conversation needs to be had. 6.3K, that's just too cheap. If he's going to play, he gets the best matchup in the league against opposing small forwards. For the DVP-wise, you have to have some interest in Kawhi Leonard here. I'm assuming he gets run. I get people are worried about from what happened the last time, but it sounded like it was one of those things where management basically said, nah, he's not playing this game. You can play in the next game, but this is not the spot to play him. So luckily we were told enough ahead of time that there was possibility that he'd sit, and I was able to get off him, so I was happy about that. Leonard, I think he's a great play. I think he's a guy that I'm going to be locking in on DraftKings as long as he's going to play. And hey, 7 o'clock start, and that's when the slate starts. So I think we'll know the news in time. I know, and this is like just reckless speculation, but they said Aldridge was maybe going to sit too, and Aldridge didn't sit the last game. So I think with them playing the Knicks last game, them playing the Pistons this one, their idea was like, hey, we'll sit one this one and then one the next. So I kind of think we're going to get the news that Aldridge sits. Again, I'm just recklessly speculating, but I think it's something that could happen. If it does, I mean, Pau Gasol, he feels priced up. I get he's priced up, but I still think he's a good play. He's even a good play, I think, if, you know, a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge does play. But if he sits, I mean, this could be a great spot for him. So Pau Gasol, I'll just run through the numbers for you real quick here on what he's done against Andre Drummond in his career. And it's not really his career. It's mainly just like the last, you know, last four games I have. Let me pull it up here. It is... Pau Gasol, averaging 20.75 points, 11.25 rebounds, and 4 assists in his last 4 games against Drummond. If you want, just go check it out. I mean, he is really historically just had Drummond's number, really done well against him. So I think Pau Gasol, I know he's priced up. It feels like you're chasing points. I get it. But if you're playing multiple tournament teams, I really don't hate the idea of, you know, basically throwing him in there as a tournament dart. I think he's interesting and, yeah, someone to consider on the slate. Tony Parker, he's cheap too. I get it. It's Ishmael defense, not really the strongest defender. And if he's going to get the minutes, he's not a terrible play, but not a guy I'm in love with. Other than that, kind of moving on from the Spurs, it's really Kawhi is the guy I'm mainly looking at here, and then maybe sprinkling some other guys. Ish Smith on the Pistons side of the ball, he's the only guy I'm rostering. Everyone else I think is worth fading, not in great spots. I'm just uninterested in them. Ish Smith, though, an elite play, just way too cheap. I get the matchup might be difficult. Ownership could be high, so that understands you could maybe make a tournament fade on it, but beware, right? This guy has sees a ton of usage and chucks up a ton of shots in these kind of situations, and he's going to be very interesting in it to play today.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think Pau Gasol is a great option. I'm going to have a ton of him. If Aldridge sits, you know, it's going to open up some spots here for other guys to get extra usage. But I think I'll just like Gasol more if Aldridge sits and not go too crazy on the Spurs side. And I agree with you, the only guy worth playing on the Pistons side is Ish Smith. You know, implied team total under 100, you know, with a 7-game slate, not something we really need to chase. But his price tag is still deflated enough to where we could play him. And he's essentially a fantasy point per minute guy, and he'll get plenty of minutes in this matchup. So that's about where I am here. Anyone else you want to mention in this game, Travis?
No, that's about it. Not a game I love, but I think there's some stuff we should look at. So yeah, don't obviously cross this game off the slate.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, just got to keep an eye on the news, you know, because Pop does a lot of weird things, especially around this time of year. For some reason, around New Year's, everyone just starts doing the whole hokey pokey with the rest.
Yeah. By the way, I think the whole Pop like is like the worst, is the most overrated thing. Like he gives us news all the time and tells us when people are in and out. And like he told us ahead of time before 7 o'clock that we got that Kawhi and Leonard. At least we were told, right? I'm always team like give me more news than none. And he gave us these two guys might sit. And other teams don't do that. So I want to just give Pop a little, you know, a little pat on the back for when other people disagree and they say, oh, he's the worst. But he gave us ahead of time. He said, hey, he didn't tell us they were going to sit, but he said, hey, there's a possibility they do. So thank you, Pop. I was at least able to get the guys out of my
head. You must have never got popped for all the money, Travis.
No, I have in the past, but it has not been as bad in the past 2 years. I totally disagree with you on that. That is so like 2014, man.
I'm speaking on behalf of the older DFS heads
that's fine, but you
gotta, I'm talking getting popped with Tim Duncan, Travis. It's happened, you know.
I get it, man, but you gotta wipe your memory, man. You gotta be a quarterback or a cornerback, you know. If you just got burned on a player through an interception, man, go in there and just wipe the memory, man. It's not the same situation with Pop. He's been good to us, I believe, but that's just me.
All right. So you're the Pop Whisperer. I get it.
No, not saying that, Josh. I just think we're giving him, people give him too much credit. I saw him getting killed on Twitter. And hey, some people were able to pivot him out of his lineup. That's all I'm saying. At least it's more, the more news, the better. That's my theory.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to the next game. We've got the Portland Trailblazers in Atlanta against the Hawks. 207.5 is the game total. Portland Trailblazers, 3-point road favorites. Travis, lots of close games on the slate, so that's going to really help when factoring decisions. Lots of games expected to stay close. This is one of those games. Right off the bat, I could tell you that Lillard's looking good to me as long as he plays. I know that he burned people the other night, but if he's out, I'm just going to go right to McCollum for sure. And on the other side of this game, I really like Schroeder a lot. I think Schroeder is a great play here. And give me some Bazemore, too, in the spot in tournaments. But that's like just like, you know, first look here. I know you had Nurk the other night, and he just went absolutely bananas for you. So I'm interested in hearing your take on this game because these are two very fast-paced teams that don't really play a ton of defense. So I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so, I mean, this game is not one that I, you know, would normally like. Just the Hawks, it's like, I don't want to play anyone on them. And again, it's I don't see, like, anyone in any game as, like, a cross-off game or a spot right on the exposure. The thing is, Schroeder is the one interesting guy that I think you really have to consider on DraftKings. That price tag's insane. Like, 6,700 is too cheap. I understand Bazemore's a guy that you can argue, hey, he's got 40-point fantasy upside on almost any game. Yeah, he pretty much does, but I don't know. I don't think it's necessary on this slate play. I think there's better options. I really think it's Schroeder on the Hawks side, and that's it, and move on. And mainly DraftKings only, because that price tag is just way too cheap for the production that he's had recently. And not just recently, throughout the entire season. I mean, he's averaging like 30, like mid-30s fantasy points, and he's only 6.7K. I mean, that's just too cheap. And if Damian Lillard sits, which there's a possibility he does, I saw, I believe, on Twitter the other day, they said, I think it was on Friday, they said that they could tell it when he was going up against Myers Leonard or something at one point, like on the boards or in practice, that the hamstring was bothering him. So again, he could, you know, fight it out and play through it. But I'm just guessing that he's sitting here in the spot. And if so, then it's Shabazz Napier. And like, hey, Dennis Schroeder against Shabazz Napier sounds like a good time. So I like him on DraftKings. I think he's an elite play over there. Talk about the Portland side, though. What are we going to do with them? So Nurkic, man, he got hit. I don't know if you saw that game. I was watching it because I was sweating out Nurkic and hoping he was having a big game. He got 3 fouls in like a minute because he like was bleeding on the nose and was just like had to get out of the game, you know, got stitched up and then ended up going for like 40 fantasy points. Like angry Nurkic just came in and went absolutely ham. And I believe I saw some quotes from like a lot of the players that were just like, we love angry Nurkic. So, hey, I'm hoping angry Nurkic shows up here. And if we like Jonas Valanciunas, the guy that's like the worst freaking player in the world that only gets like points in the first quarter, like that guy, he got 25 fantasy points yesterday and then put up 32 altogether, which is like ridiculous. The guy got 8 points in three quarters. It's so terrible how bad Jonas Valanciunas is. But anyways, rant over on that. I think Nurkic is just too cheap on FanDuel specifically. It's like 6,100, the upside that he can have. And hey, if we get a little, you know, pumped up Nurkic, it seems like that's kind of one of the things. Like he seems like he plays on a lot of emotion. So I don't know. It seems like that throughout his career. I just think that price is too cheap also. I think on DraftKings, even 6.8K isn't bad. We know the Hawks are not good on the boards. We know they're not good against big men. Who's going to stop him here? I really think that we should have some interest in him, especially if Lillard sits. I like him a lot. I think Shabazz Napier, if Lillard sits too, I think Napier is going to be a good play. If we hear that Lillard is questionable all day, I know it's a 7:30 game, so we'll likely have the news in time. But say we don't have the news in time, I don't mind in tournaments firing away on Napier. I saw Napier was on some of the winning lineups the other day when Lillard got that in-day downgrade. So I don't know. I think Napier's a really good play at his price tag. Have to consider him. Also, CJ McCollum. He's a decent play, too. Not a guy I like to play a ton, but I think he's someone that is in play on the slate. Other than that, though, it's mainly on the Trailblazer side. It's Nurkic. John Napier, he'd be my favorite play if Lillard's at. Shabazz would be my number one. If he doesn't sit, then Nurkic is my number one on this team. And then maybe getting some McCollum exposure. I'm not going to mess around with the other Trailblazers guys and play that roulette. You know, Harkless, Aminu, Turner. It's just unnecessary for me.
Yeah, I just want to shout out Bobby Fye because he's a guy that I talked to about this whole McCollum situation. Like, when do you play McCollum? And you play him against teams that struggle against mid-range jumpers and long jumpers. And, you know, let's just put this into perspective. So McCollum's got a lot more comfortable shooting from beyond the arc. He has 5 or more three-point attempts in his last 8 games. And Atlanta ranks 22nd in the league at defending opposing three-pointers and 29th in the league at defending mid-range jumpers. So McCollum is really a good play here, especially Lillard sits. I'm going to fire up all the McCollum, but I think this is a good spot for him, and I think that he'll get overlooked. Atlanta ranks dead last in the league at defending opposing shooting guards as well. So lots of good things going in, you know, on in his favor here for CGM. So McCollum is going to be one of my top plays from this game for sure, and I'll definitely have some exposure to him. But anyone else you want to mention here, Travis?
No, I think that's about it for me on that game. It's more interesting than you would think, and just kind of we have to really wait on that news because I think that news is going to be important today.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is. And if Lillard's out, fire up McCollum. That's where the usage is going to go, and Napier too, as you mentioned. Let's move on to the next game. We got LeBron James, King James, and the Cleveland Cavaliers in Utah against the Jazz. 206 is the game total, and the Jazz, home contenders here. They're only 3-point dogs here at home, so the Cavs favored by 3 points. But yeah, this is supposed to be a close game, Travis. What's going on here? The Cavs and the Jazz.
Oh man, so Josh, don't bury the lead, man. It's LeBron James' birthday narrative, man. 33rd birthday, fresh off of Cleveland yesterday, going to Napa Valley, sipping on some wine with the team, having a good relaxation day at the Catalina Wine Mixer. LeBron is all, ready for this game, right? Happy birthday to him, 33rd birthday. What the guy's been doing is incredible. But hey, narrative street, man. We get LeBron on his birthday. What do you think about LeBron James today?
Oh, I love LeBron today on his birthday, especially. Are you kidding me? And with Cleveland just being so hobbled with injuries, like they've just been leaning so heavily on LeBron. So I think this is a spot where they're going to lean on him more. I mean, it sucks that he's not home, that he's in Utah, but I think this is an absolute smash spot. There's literally nobody on this Jazz team that's going to be able to defend him. I don't even know who they're going to stick on him, but whoever it is, it's not going to be enough to cover LeBron James. He's going to be like Mario after he takes the mushroom in this game and just go absolutely nuts. Mark my words on that. Like, watch LeBron. He's my favorite pay-up play on the slate for sure. Just love LeBron here. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, so he's my favorite pay-up play too right now. Again, there's not a lot of pay-up plays that you know in great spots. But I really think this is a great spot for him. Mainly, and obviously, right? Narratives are whatever, right? I like them. It's part of my brand, right? But, there's a lot of other things that play into this, right? This is a great matchup in general, right? Like, it's going to be small ball. When do we want to play LeBron? In these small ball situations, so we can attack the rim. There's no one really to defend him there. I'm not worried about Derek Favors stopping him. It's going to be a small ball type game. They're going to bring in Cephalosha, I'm sure. He's going to, Jingle and Joe, he'll probably be on him. Cephalosha, they'll probably just split the duties on covering him. And again, they're decent defenders, but I'm not worried about that. It's LeBron James, a matchup proof type guy. And he should be able to slash the rim and kind of have his way in this spot. Love LeBron here. Definitely going to get a ton of exposure to him on this slate. I also think Joe Johnson, obviously, another reason why they could go small ball. He could play a little bit of four time and four and three and just kind of mix it up. So I think this game just for sure goes small. I'm not expecting it to really go too big like that as the game flow idea here. And again, not the highest total for the Cavs, but I really think LeBron's going to just kind of control the game and thrive. And hey, in his one game against the Jazz this year, he had a pretty good outing, like 62 fantasy points. And if we expect this game to be close, LeBron should probably eat. So I like LeBron here a lot. I think Kevin Love, good option, but he's kind of way too priced up. He's got a wide range of outcomes. If you want to pay up to be contrarian, and if you think this is a game where he has the upside, I think he can. And I think a guy against a guy like Favors, he certainly can. Jazz are ranked on sixth worst in the league against defending the 3-point line. So yeah, I think Kevin Love could obviously get hot, and if he does, he could have a massive game. Look at the Jazz, though. I mean, this is a team that I probably want to get a lot of exposure to. Don't normally expect them to be in close games, but also, after a big loss, right? The Cleveland lost to the Kings the other day. I'm expecting them to bounce back here and kind of get a win against the Jazz. Because when you lose to the Kings, I feel like the next game you're going to come back, come out swinging the next one. But I expect this game to kind of be close, and so does Vegas. And who's going to keep it close, right? Favors and Mitchell's. They see the biggest usage bumps. They're a little priced up, but I think on DraftKings, Favors is still too cheap. I think Mitchell's a fair price around the industry, but I still think there's upside there and there's a nice floor. So don't mind him. I think they're two guys to get, be in the conversation. Ricky Rubio, he's just too cheap. Again, though, you have to be willing to, either take that 20 or 18 fantasy point game or then hopefully get that 35 game. He can struggle. He can do really badly, but I think he's in play, kind of a secondary option for me. A guy who I think is an elite value play is Thabo Sefolosha. And again, he's not the most fun DFS roster, but I expect him to be in there a ton because he's going to have to defend, the Jay Crowders, the LeBron James. He's going to be in there a lot. He's going to get the minutes, and he's really cheap. I think he's a really interesting option on this slate. FanDuel, he's minimum price. He's 3.5K on DraftKings, just too cheap. I think he's going to get the minutes and is interesting. And a guy like Joe Johnson, right? He could, you know, when he gets hot, he can get it going. I don't hate him here. So a lot of the Jazz I like here. I just think, you know, against a Cavs team that struggles defensively, I think they're in the conversation today on this slate. What do you think about this game as a whole besides LeBron?
Two guys that really be targeting heavy would be, I really like Dark Favors here. Cleveland ranks 30th in the league at defending opposing centers, especially stretch fives like Favors. They really struggle against guys like that. Love, not the defender that he once was, leaving some open rebounds to grab in the paint and whatnot. And I think that Favors will be fine against Love in this game. So do like Favors a lot here. His price is still manageable, and he's getting a ton of usage. And as you mentioned, Donovan Mitchell is the other guy I'll have interest in. Kid's been really good. And those are the only two guys they have that are really pure scorers on this team. If you look at their roster, they don't have a lot of guys that can score a ton of points. So it's going to be Mitchell and Favors just trying to keep this game close. And if Vegas thinks the game's going to be close, it's going to be kept close between Mitchell and Favors doing their thing, I think. So those are the guys I really want to target. I think you'll hear some ripples about Joe Ingles today and, you know, about playing him and thinking that he's a good play on this slate. He's underpriced. For me, he's just too inconsistent. I think that he makes sense as a tournament dart, but just definitely not going to be chasing him to score a ton of points here. I don't think he's going to win you a tournament, you know. So if it's a guy like, you know, sometimes he'll give you 30 and sometimes he'll give you 7, like, you know, I'll just pass on him. You know, if sometimes he gives me 50, then that's different, you know. But yeah, so I'll pass on Ingles. But Mitchell and Favors are my favorite on the Utah side, and LeBron James is my favorite on the Cavs side. Anyone else you want to mention here, Travis?
Let me just summarize the Jazz for you, kind of how I wrote up my grind out, because I did like a little summary of each guy to kind of call it a day. I said to summarize the Jazz, I think it's best to go over quick one more time. Rubio is underpriced, comes with some risk. So yeah, Donovan Mitchell and Derek Favors are safe because of the usage they are seeing in the current offense, like them. Thabo Sefolosha is one of my favorite values because I expect him to play a lot against LeBron James and needed for small ball lineups. Rodney Hood is a good low-owned tournament option with upside, but I understand he comes with risk, right? He's going to have a wide range of outcomes, 40-point game or 20-point game. That's kind of what Rodney Hood does. That's the type of player he is. Also, don't hate Joe Johnson. I could see him mixing him in your tournament lineups with the game goes small. He could get some run, too. So that's kind of the summarize the Jazz up for you. Again, I think mixing and matching them with LeBron is a good idea on this slate, and yeah, it could be an interesting game that stays close.
All right, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Memphis Grizzlies in Golden State against the Warriors. 206.5 is the over-under. Golden State, 13-point home favorite. Nice, healthy 13-point home favorite. You know, just quick rundown for me here. Harrison is still underpriced. I think he's a guy you could target, especially against Golden State, who struggles against opposing guards. I think Tyreke Evans is still in play. But you are going to have to pay up for him a little bit. And I think Gasol is kind of like an interesting spot because we were talking about him too earlier. Just Golden State on paper is good against the center position, but they do give up a ton of offensive rebounds. So I think Gasol is aggressive enough and getting enough usage to where he can make something happen tonight. Just know that you're paying a steep price and there's good blowout potential in this game too, especially with Golden State being at home and Memphis being understaffed. And then on Golden State side, I really do like Steph Curry today. I think that, especially on DraftKings, 8.1K just feels too cheap for him. I'm definitely going to find a way to get some exposure to him. I think he's probably my favorite play, point per dollar on Golden State. Obviously, Durant's in play, but if I'm paying up for anyone on the slate, I'll be paying up for the big LeBron James on his birthday. So I'll pass on Durant today. But yeah, that's about it for me. I'll target some Curry on DraftKings. And I do think that Harrison is still underpriced across the industry, so I'll be targeting him too. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, man, this is a game I don't love. It's weird. You'd think it's not one, you know, normally we love getting exposure to the Warriors games, but I don't know. This is not a game I'm all over today. 206.5 team total, you know, same as the Cleveland and Jazz. I just have more interest in that. So about the Grizzlies side real quick. Andrew Harrison, he's someone we've had interest in all week. Chalmers then came into play and kind of ruined that, made him you know, do bad the other day. He's gotten a little priced up. I don't hate Harrison, don't love him. Think he's in the conversation, but not a huge fan. I think Tyreke Evans is priced up on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's okay. Don't mind him at 7.7K. He could have a massive game, but I don't think it's necessary. I think there's other guys I'll play. I think if J. Michael Green sits, then we get Jarrell Martin as an interesting value, but he is starting to get a little pricey, but he can have the upside there. And I think he fits his game environment well. Don't mind him. Marcus Gasol, 8K. I think that's a fair price. I think he could have upside, you know, but I don't know. I think there's just other guys I'd rather play. I'd rather play Porzingis and some other guys at that price range. So I don't know. Not really in love with many of the Grizzlies. It's kind of tough. They're guys that are like kind of in the conversation, but then I'm like, I don't really want to play them. look at the Warriors, though. I mean, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and even Kevin Durant, right? They all have this nice little price decrease because of the slow pace they're going up against. I think if I had to rank them, I think it's Draymond Green for me is my number one. Just the upside that he has at this price and what he can do. And I also think he might do a little more heavy lifting. Kevin Durant kind of rolled his ankle the other yesterday and kind of struggled in that game. Didn't have the best game. I know they're coming off a loss. So they're going to want to kind of get a win here. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of more interested in Draymond Green at that price. Yeah, Kevin Durant is a little cheaper, but I think I'm paying it for LeBron. So that's kind of tough for me to get both in my lineups. Then I got Klay Thompson as my number two on this one. Just the amount of shots he's putting up in 9 of his last 10 games, he has 15 or more shots. That's a lot of shots. I get that the Grizzlies have been better against the shooting guard position, but for the amount of shot attempts he's putting up at that price, there's a nice floor, and then there's some upside if he gets hot. So, sure, I don't hate him. And then I think Bell. Bell's an interesting guy. In the amount of minutes he's been playing, he's been putting up a nice amount of production, so I don't hate him. I still think he's a decent value. So that's about it for me this game. Not one that I love, but there's some guys that have a little bit of interest in.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to the last game of the slate. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers in Denver against the Nuggets in that high altitude. 216.5 is the game total, which is also the second highest game total on the slate. This is a friendly fantasy game here. Denver Nuggets, a 7-point home favorite against the 76ers. I think there's a lot to like here, Travis, and I think this is probably a good candidate for the game stack of the night on this slate. But I want to hear your take here, Travis. Where are we looking?
Yeah, also real quick, back on the Warriors, it's a three games in 4 nights, back-to-back second half. So, yeah, that's also another kind of a concern with the Warriors. But, yeah, let's talk about this game. This game's a lot more fun, a lot of DFS possible. Goodness, have to have some interest in that. It's the only game I haven't finished writing up, so I have to, you know, write that one up. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be, you know, Embiid. I believe he is questionable in this game. So, I'm pulling it up real quick, Josh. You know for sure what he's at?
I'm thinking he's supposed to be out, but I'm looking it up, too. I just clicked it.
Let's see. I just want to double check and make sure.
He's ruled out. He's not playing today.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. So ruled out. Definitely someone that we, we're going to want to have some interest in some of these Sixers. Holmes, he gets a massive bump. You know, I was looking earlier in my model. He was up there, so I assumed it was because Embiid was out, but didn't know if he was questionable or out, but Holmes is going to get a big boost.
I'm going to end up on Amir Johnson, Travis. I know it's going to happen.
I mean, he's like the worst, but yeah, I get having interest in him. I think he makes the conversation, but I'm not. He's a guy I don't like. I don't just try and jam him first. There's other guys I like before. I like Holmes normally first. I do think Jokic should cause some issues with him, and I get the idea of maybe then Amir Johnson gets some run. I could see them even going Amir Johnson and Holmes to start out, maybe. I think Sarge, though, I think he's a pretty interesting play. He gets a nice usage bump. So does Covington. Those are two guys I'm going to like. Ben Simmons, I don't, you know, the price is getting cheap, right? 8.3K is really nice for him on DraftKings. On FanDuel, let's see what he's at. He is 8.7K, so he's been struggling. The price is getting cheaper. Yeah, I think I'm going to keep passing. I think I'd just rather Porzingis at that price. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So straight up, I think that's the guy I would prefer. But Simmons is in the conversation. I think he's not, I don't think he's, a bad play, but I'd rather just get exposures through Robert Covington, through Dario Saric. I think those guys are, better guys to go through. And hey, it's Ben Simmons' first game, I believe, in Denver, and Denver's got that wonky altitude. Maybe that'll cause some issues for him. Maybe I'm thinking too much outside the box here, but maybe that could cause some problems. I know it's caused a guy like Porzingis problems in the past. That was definitely something we talked about last year. So yeah. I think J.J. Redick, too, he's going to be in the conversation, too. Without Embiid, there's just a lot of usage to go around, and it kind of hits a lot of these cheaper guys, and I think it's an interesting route to go to. Same with, like, a T.J. McConnell. He's too cheap. So all that Embiid usage just goes around to everyone. I believe I saw a stat the other day. It's, like, in the first 2 years of someone's career, Embiid has a higher usage than, you know, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, like, all of, like, the top players. He is number one in his first 2 years. So just that all that usage is going to be funneled out to all these different guys. So it makes a lot of these cheaper options, just gives them small boosts that are great. And even Simmons at that price, he gets a little bit of boost. But I think instead of jamming in Simmons, I'd be jamming in the value plays instead.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just, Simmons, I'm a huge Ben Simmons fan. He just hit his rookie wall, so I'm going to let him play it out. And then when he gets, the break, he could rest a little bit. But, the All-Star break, but maybe come back refreshed. But he definitely hit his rookie wall. You could see it in his game log. You could see it when you watch him play on the court. His jumper has been ice cold, too. So that's another issue that he's been having. He's picking up good assists, though. I mean, the kid's really good. He's just going to keep getting better. But I just think at this price tag, I'm going to have to pass. The guys that I really target hard when Embiid is out now, just because they really do get a huge boost in usage, it's going to be Covington. You know, of course, the homie Saric. And I actually like McConnell, too, in this spot. I think McConnell's in a good spot here.
Yeah, McConnell's not in a bad spot, too. But it's Saric and Covington are, like, the two guys that I love here with the usage bumps.
For sure. Absolutely. Even if Holmes starts, I think I'm going to stay away from him. I don't love the matchup here. Denver has a healthy front court right now, and they're actually pretty good at protecting the rim. Both these teams are actually pretty good at protecting the rim. Without Embiid, though, I think we get some value in the big guys in Denver. So I think we got some value here in Plumlee. I wouldn't hate you if you went Jokic in a tournament, you know, with the Joker there. I think that he's a fine play. But the guards, too, are definitely a play. I just, you know, the price tags on these guards here have gotten so big on Denver. Like, you know, we're used to seeing Jamal Murray at a discount. He's, you know, 6.2 on DraftKings. We're used to seeing Gary Harris at a discount. He's 6.1K on DraftKings. So these guys just aren't particularly cheap anymore, you know. And even Barton, you know, Barton at 6K, I think he's probably the best option out of all of them at this price tag, like point per dollar. So for me, you know, I think that if I'm looking for, like, a nice value play, I think Plumlee's a fine value play because he's getting plenty of minutes. Probably be starting at the four in this matchup. So I think that Plumlee is a good play from the Nuggets, and I do, like I said, I do think that Barton is a fine play too at this price tag. But what do you think about the Denver side, Travis?
Yeah, didn't get to touch on Denver a ton. Jokic, I think he's a really good play. I don't know who's going to stop him, right? 8.6K, really good price tag for him. Again, another reason why I probably don't really want to play Marc Gasol and some of these other guys at that similar price tag. I think he's a great play. Priced up for me, don't have a ton of interest. I know Plumlee's popping for me. If I think Plumlee gets the run, maybe I'll play him, but I don't know. I just saw him popping in the model. I'm probably gonna have to dig a little deeper on him and check to make sure. I think Gary Harris is a really good play. I think they're gonna need him, right? He's gonna have to chase around JJ Redick all game. He'll probably be on the floor a lot, so I think he's a fine play. Same with a guy like Will Barton. Could see this game going kind of small, and if the game goes small, like, they should just really throw Wilson Chandler out of the lineup and just throw Will Barton in there, right? Run Will Barton with Gary Harris and even Jamal Murray. Just have them all on the floor to close out the game. I think that's the right call, and I think Will Barton is a really interesting tournament play that has some upside. So for me, Jokic is my number one, like him a ton, and then Gary Harris and Barton are the two other guys I really want to get exposure to, and then maybe Plumlee as I dig in a little deeper, but Trey Lyles looked good too. Maybe he could fit it. You know, some of these forwards are not a bad option. It just kind of depends on what the Sixers roll out there with the starting lineup, and then if the Nuggets want to match up and go big or not.
All right, so with that, we covered the slate for you guys. We're going to move on to the lock and load segment of the play of the slate. Lock and load segment of the play. Here we are in act two of the play, Travis, on the Weekend Grind podcast. But yeah, we're going to do the lock and load segment here, basically, guys, that we're going to lock into our lineups on this slate. I'll kick it off for me. You know, there's a good few plays here that I think are good candidates for the lock and load play of the slate. But for me, I think with Embiid out, I'm just going to go with the homie Dario Saric. I think that he is a fantastic play in a fast-paced game with tons of upside here and fantasy goodness. His price tag is still affordable. Nice mid-range price tag. I think he could get him in. Like I said, very close in contention with a few other guys I really like, but he's going to be the guy that I lock and load on the slate. How about you, Travis?
It's kind of tough because, like, I like to, you know, be price sensitive and pick each site which one I like a guy better. I'm thinking it through which guy I want.
You like LeBron? It's his birthday. Yeah. It's your narrative. Travis Mann Bone Brands.
He's priced up though, man. I get it, but I mean, it's just like, I don't want to, like, you know, how lazy is it just saying LeBron James, right? It just feels super lazy. Feels super lazy to say someone like that. So I don't know. I don't really want to go with him. I think it's going to be a Sixer, right? I think I'm just going to go over Sean Holmes. Unless I hear word that, like, they don't want to get him out there on Jokic, that is a concern, right? Will they just have Amir Johnson bang down low with him there? But think about it. This is a game, up and down kind of game. This is a game that fits him well. He's just really cheap around the industry. Like, what is he? 4,200 on DraftKings, on FanDuel, he's 4,000. Like, what does he have to do to really hurt me? I mean, yeah, if he could get in foul trouble, I definitely am a little concerned about that. But I'm going to go with Sean Holmes. I think there's just a ton of upside here, and I understand that there's a little bit of risk, but he's really cheap. And not only that, he's a key that helps make things work. And I don't think this is a slate where there's a lot of value that we love. So give me Rashawn Holmes. again, I like, you know, Saric was the guy that I think I was going to take, but you took him first, so I didn't go with him. But I think there's just a ton of value on the Sixers that we need to be like keying in on in our cash games and even in tournaments. There's going to be a Sixer on the winning lineup, right? In tournaments, I feel like there's going to be at least two. Am I wrong about that? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they're just all in play with Embiid being out.
No, I agree with you. I think we're definitely going to see multiple Sixers on several Sixers on the winning lineups tonight in GPPs. I just wanted to mention too, CJ McCollum, man, I really, really like him. So definitely get him in there too. I mean, he's a guy that I think is going to go way under owned today, and he's going to smash, especially if Lillard is out. So, but you know, I kind of hope Lillard's not out because I don't want him to come to the chalk, McCollum. You know. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, anything else you want to mention here?
I don't think CJ will become chalk Lillard's out. Yeah, everyone's just gonna go Shabazz for cheaper. And I don't know. CJ hasn't. You know, Shabazz has been really good at the point. So I don't think he would really become chalk. I think he'd be interesting, but I don't know if he'd become chalk. So I don't know. I think he's a fine play. I prefer the Shabazz side though, if I had to pick.
All right, so that's it. We've covered the games for you guys. Make sure you give us both a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis MANGONE. Make sure you go ahead, check out his grind down on the main page at Roto Grinders. Does a fantastic job filling in for the very talented Mr. Notorious. So make sure you give that a look. And other than that, we hope you guys enjoy the games tonight. We hope you have a very, very happy and safe new year. May all your resolutions come true. And, yeah, we'll see you next weekend, though. For my co-host, Travis Mango, and I'm Josh Sir Giant. Peace out, Riders. And Happy New Year.
Sometimes I feel like she don't care. As much as I do, it's weird. Sometimes I feel like she's unfair. Hit me with that winter stare. Sometimes I can see she's scared. Ghosting me like I'm not there. Sometimes I think she's unaware that I'm still me, I swear. Bring your baggage, baby, I will take it. I'll bring mine and we'll go on vacation. Know our strength has never been patience. Let's enjoy what was worth this waiting. Kept our memories alive so I could feel closer. Knowing that we'll never get closure. So much bigger than just saying it's over. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything, yeah. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything. Sometimes I feel I lost my mind and wish I had a way to rewind. Sometimes I feel a pain in my chest and I would rather write than rest. She just wants me in the bed, but I can't get out my head though. Without her I'm incomplete, stronger than the air I breathe. Bring your baggage, baby, I will take it. I'll bring mine and we'll go on vacation. Know our strength has never been patience. Let's enjoy what was worth this waiting. Kept our memories alive so I could feel closer. Knowing that we'll never get closure. So much bigger than just saying it's over. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. Hey, tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything, yeah. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything.
Sometimes I feel like she don't care. As much as I do, it's weird. Sometimes I feel like she to me like I'm not there. Sometimes I think she's unaware that I'm still me, I swear. 24/7
with the stone cold.